From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of January 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hear the final installation of our conversation with Andre Sizov of Sov Econ about conditions this week in the wheat-growing regions of Eastern and Western Europe. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast to that with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics, and it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today up 4 3/4. It settled at $6.21. The May at $6.17, 3.5 higher. In December futures, 2 1/4 higher at $5.67.5. March soybeans at $14.03, down 11 1/4. The May at $14.11, down 12. And the November beans, new crop at $13.75, 8 3/4 lower. The bean meal, $1.20 higher at $3.93.90. The bean oil at $61.97, $1.03 lower. And wheat futures for the soft red at $8.50, up 20.5 cents. The hard red at $8.18, up 24 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby at $140.75, down $2.25. That's for the April. March contract for the feeders at $161.25, $2 and a nickel lower, and lean hogs in the April at $93.32.5, 37.5 cents higher for the futures. Crude oil at $83.28 a barrel, $1.86 lower for the day. Diesel fuel down 4.9 cents per gallon at $2.58.7, and gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB at $2.40.4, down 4.2 cents. Natural gas is up 9.6 cents at $3.87.7 for the day. The S&P 500 at $4,289.50, down $100.50, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 33,435 is down 722 points for the afternoon. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois is here to talk about what's been happening in Chicago and elsewhere. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on another Monday, Kurt.
Well, you're quite welcome. Temperatures will be warmer through the week versus what we've got in the forecast here.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to cool down. In fact, we'll hear more about that in just a bit. However, I want to hear about what's been happening in Chicago. Wheat futures moved sharply higher today. Is that expectations that there might be some issues in the Black Sea area?
That's been the theme. The main thing would be sanctions. You take Ukraine and Russia, they're number two, number three on the wheat exports to the world. As we've talked about, the Black Sea regions, the Walmart or the supermarket out of that region in through there where, you know, some bargains to be had, so they'd have to go elsewhere. Then, two, we're looking at growing conditions in other parts of the world is a little bit on the dry side or at that, you know, adverse. So it was a combination of things. And, you know, the European traders particularly are finding comfort in owning some wheat futures. But when you step back and look at the big picture from last night until 120 here on the close, it's just amazing. The volatility is just unbelievable. There earlier this morning, the bear was in charge. He had the bull on the ropes, but the green bull said, "Not today, my friend, not today." The market was incredibly beat up and was able to work itself out of the hole here and recover somewhat. It's kind of like watching NFL playoffs this weekend, man. You just didn't know until the last 3 seconds. Just this is probably one of the most volatile, crazy markets we've seen in quite some time, with beans coming back and closing lower on the day, but basically 20 cents off the low, and corn 10 cents off its low. But uncertainty around the world, just a lack of investor confidence sent the outside market sharply higher. The Dow was down over 1,100 points there at one time. And we saw, when you look at the monthly chart on the Dow Jones and the S&P, it's in position to record a monthly price reversal to the downside. So there's a lot of uneasiness in that market, and that spilled over to the grain complex earlier, too. Also, too, the energy market was quite a bit lower, and some of the metals was quite a bit lower to keep a very, very negative attitude. But this morning we did see The forecast shift a little bit to the drier side. Argentina, southern Argentina received some decent rains over the weekend. That's scheduled to move north. Mid-May maps a little bit lighter as we go into next week to go in the moisture. Demand-wise, we saw some fresh sales, 132,000 tons of beans being sold to China. And that's divided up between old crop and new crop. Then there was 150,000 ton corn sale to unknown destination. So there's a little bit of demand underneath the market, not as big as what the some of the trade wants to realize, but there's some demand underneath the market. This morning's export shipments report, corn wheat came in at 400,000 tons at the upper end. Corn, just a little over 1.1 million metric ton, kind of in the middle there, and the beans, about 1.3 million metric tons, kind of within the trade expectations there. So we're shipping out basically what we've been sold, and that's kind of good news because as we kind of move through the marketing year here, we need to make sure that exports stay on a positive side here, Todd.
On that note, I was thinking about what's been happening in the South American continent, the idea that there's been dry conditions in Argentina, but more importantly in southern Brazil. The ports are there, at least some of them that are more active, and I think some of the first beans actually come out of that side as well, and not a very good crop. However, I'm wondering if the later crop coming out of Center West or Mato Grosso, other places that might be headed to different ports towards the Amazon, could come on the market sooner rather than later now and begin to put some pressure into the soybeans.
Yeah, we're seeing harvest activity, you know, start to pick up. You know, some areas in those regions are maybe 9-10% complete for their harvest. As a nation, I think we're just a little over 1-2%. So they're just rolling. It's a little too wet in some areas, so harvest has been delayed, whereas the trade was eager to see an early harvest and early beans being put on the marketplace. And that's just not the case just yet. Two, I don't want to be a drama queen, but you could probably photo snap some pictures here of mules with ropes pulling these boats down these rivers because water tables are kind of low in some of these areas that's missed the rains. Where they do have rains, that has helped quite a bit to help the transportation issue. So we'll see how the next week or two materializes in here. They're still early, and they're going to have a big crop. How big, who knows? The thing late last week is we saw one estimate come in about 126 million metric ton bean crop for Brazil, whereas the U.S. numbers for that area is 139 million metric tons. A year ago, they produced 137 million metric tons. So once we start getting below last year's production number, which was huge, the trade starts to get a little excited in there. So we're trading the South American picture in through here. And we'll come in here set 7 o'clock tonight and start trading again and see if some of the weather maps or some of this demand news is a little different than as this recording right now.
You mentioned the volatility across all of the market spaces. I'm wondering if there would be fund money moving out of some of the futures and other marketplaces into the commodities and out of paper money somewhere else, and whether that lifted the market very much today.
Well, we saw the funds come in by early in the day, 6,000 wheat, 12,000 beans, 3,000 meal, 6,000 oil, 3,000 corn going in midday. But when you look at their managed money position, there's still long about 340,000 corn, 117,000 beans, 70-some thousand meal, 70,000 oil. I don't know if there's a huge amount of money being shifted around. I think it kind of back and forth, back and forth. But you're dead on. The volatility is relatively high, just not in the ag sector. But you pull up a five-minute chart in any of these markets, all these markets are jittery, and they're getting into a point now where we're going to have to get used to some wide extreme moves up and down. So the key here is have some staying power, not only in the futures and options, but also in the market too. You got to have some type of plan and stick to it, because the market noise is going to eat you up alive if you don't have some type of plan.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke before the House Agriculture Committee late last week and brought up the next farm bill. The Hagstrom Report says he wants the committee to use the next bill to help him move rural America from an extractive economy to a circular economy. He says a circular economy is one where the wealth stays as the opportunity and jobs are all created in the rural areas. Some of the many ways to move rural communities into a circular economy include increasing processing capacity in rural America, encouraging bio-based manufacturing, and finding ways, he says, to convert agricultural waste into renewable energy and fuel. We'll stay with the Secretary of Agriculture and move to a watershed moment for the Upper Mississippi Locks and Dams modernization. USDA Secretary Vilsack says the Army Corps of Engineering's funding announcement last week was a big deal for Midwest agriculture.
It is a very big deal for American agriculture that those resources are going to go to improve the lock and dam systems.
And the secretary told Illinois Democrat Sherry Bustos during a House Ag Committee hearing that the Corps' $829 million announcement means a more competitive ag sector.
We can cut in literally in half the time it takes for a barge with soybeans to travel the Mississippi River by improving the lock and dam system. What does that mean? It means that we get those that product to port more quickly, less expensively, and as a result, we can price that product for export at a very competitive price.
Modernization, starting with Lock and Dam 25 north of St. Louis, which is key to that effort.
Our ability to compete in a very competitive circumstance for agricultural exports is absolutely directly connected to our advantage of our transportation system.
Much of which on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois Rivers dates to the 1930s, when Franklin Roosevelt was president. And finally today, we'll stay with exports in a related issue. China did not meet its Phase 1 commitment. China wound up $16 billion short of achieving its obligations under the Phase 1 trade deal with the United States, according to DTN. And it says Biden administration is looking for ways to keep China buying agricultural products. Ag Secretary Vilsack told the House Ag Committee that the administration is putting them on notice, that they want them to live up to the agreement. The secretary told committee members that the U.S. has unfinished business when talking about the two-year trade deal, which ended January 1st. Vilsack says China committed to buying $40 billion a year in ag products in 2020 and 2021. The Asian nation missed that goal by $13 billion in 2020 and missed the goal by $3 billion in 2021. Vilsack says China did not yet revise its import rules for crop biotechnology approvals, dried distillers' grains, ethanol purchases, and many other already agreed-upon obligations. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online anytime you'd like. Listen to us on demand. Just click and play from willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily Closing Market Report, the Thursday Commodity Week program. The Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast is there. Look under podcast for that. In fact, under that podcast link, you'll find the other programs as well. And a simple and easy way to subscribe to them. It's right there in the player. Hit subscribe under the player of your choice, and you can always listen to us whenever you like, however you'd like. You'll also find at willag.org the daily musings from the agricultural economist and crop scientist from the University of Illinois. Actually, the daily, not musings, but factual events that they've been covering and thinking about as they make their way through the year. Today, we'll hear the final installment of a conversation I held with Andre Sizoff last week. He's the managing director of Sove Econ, and you can find him online at Sizoff, S-I-Z-O-V, .report. I asked him about the outlook for Black Sea grain growing regions, in particular as it relates to wheat, and what his pricing strategies might be.
So outlook for Russian wheat crop at this stage is very favorable. because of weather, first of all. We saw some decline in seeded area, but it looks like, at least for now, it would be fully offset. That decline in winter wheat area, and Russia's main producer of winter wheat, will be fully offset by very good weather conditions. Crops are in good shape all over the country. The South, that's a major producing and exporting region, they look exceptional. I haven't seen that for many, many years. Plants look so good. For now, we believe that Russia could increase its wheat production substantially this year. As per Ukraine, that's a slightly different story. Weather conditions were not so favorable. It was too dry during the fall, but they increased. They have a record high winter wheat area. And things have improved during the winter, ample precipitation. And so I would say that weather conditions and crop conditions are close to average.
So Andrei Sisov's assessment of the winter wheat growing regions of Russia and Ukraine in the Black Sea area are that they are really in pretty good condition and that there is a record-sized wheat crop, at least in the area, in Ukraine. He also has some thoughts about European Union winter wheat production.
France and Germany, two major producers, wheat producers and exporters. Weather conditions, it was a bit dry also, but it's getting better and got better in recent several weeks. And weather conditions are also close to average. So if we look at this region as a whole, Black Sea plus the EU, probably we can say that supply of wheat from the region during the next season could be close or above the current one. Average crop roughly for the EU, average crop for Ukraine perhaps higher than average, and at least for now it looks like Russia can produce a very good crop, because previous year it was a poor crop because of weather, but now weather is pretty favorable. Also, I should add that, for example, some numbers for Russia were estimating 81 million tons new crop. It's roughly plus 7 million tons, plus 6 million tons to the crop of the previous crop. But I think that number, the difference and the new crop number could be substantially high, because we've been a bit cautious because of that fertilizer story, and we indeed saw some slow sales of fertilizer to Russian farmers in the second quarter of the previous year. If we see that sales are picking up, and I think there is a good chance that fertilizer sales will pick up shortly, and if we don't see any problems during next 2 months, I think there is a good chance that forecast for Russia at least will be upped substantially.
The takeaway point then from Andrei Sisov at SovEcon is that the Western and Eastern European hard red winter wheat crops are in decent condition in large enough area and should be as good or better than normal in this growing season. Let's check the weather forecast now with Everstream Analytics' Mark Russo. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start in South America as we usually do at this time of year, the whole of the continent, of course, but we'll begin, if you could, in Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina has begun to see some relief. That started last week with the increase in rain activity and cooler temperatures. And in fact, over this past weekend, the core of the grain belt in Argentina picked up 1 to 4 inches of rain. Some additional rain is expected here this week. So that is helping to not only stabilize, but likely start to improve crop conditions there for both corn and soybeans. Obviously, a big change from the severe heat and dryness that prevailed there earlier this month and back in December. Now, those rains in Argentina will be shifting northward into southern Brazil, which is the focus of attention now, and the area that still is badly in need of rain activity. southern Brazil will continue to be hot and dry for another few days. In fact, they've had a heat wave ongoing there for about a week. And but they also look to receive some relief here coming up the second half of this week, which then looks to continue into next week as well. So it's not out of the question a few areas or pockets in southern Brazil miss out on this rain opportunity, but this is really the best setup for more widespread rains that southern Brazil has seen in quite some time.
Further to the north in Brazil, in the center west, Mato Grosso, other states, it's been raining or had been raining a great deal. I'm wondering if things will continue to dry out there as they have been for some of the harvest season.
Center west Brazil looks to be somewhat involved with the rains. Now, for this week, they're still on the inactive side, so that should be favorable for soybean harvesting and winter corn planting. It's next week, though, where rain activity does look to increase a bit, kind of back or easing back to something close to normal. So they're not shifting back really wet, but you know, they are going to see more rain next week compared to this week. So that could, you know, cause a few more disruptions there in soybean harvesting.
Here in the United States, there has been some worry about the dry conditions across the hard red winter wheat growing regions in the southern plains, Kansas, Oklahoma, parts of Colorado, maybe a bit of Texas. What are conditions like today?
Yeah, conditions continue to be quite poor in parts of the southern plains just because of the long-term dryness. Now, temperatures here coming up, back earlier in start of January and back in December, they were really warm. You know, they have since cooled off. No sign of any real warm patterns becoming established there, but there's also no sign of any significant precip here coming up as well. Not a totally dry pattern. In fact, there's going to be some snow in portions of western Kansas coming up tonight on into tomorrow and into early Wednesday. But what they need is turn to a much more active or wetter pattern to significantly boost soil moisture reserves. And just don't see anything like that here through at least the first third of February.
And finally, do you have a weather forecast for the Corn Belt?
Yeah, the headline right now is with the unseasonably cold temperatures, this Arctic air that's been in place now over the past week's time frame. And that looks to continue here, especially this week with the coldest temperatures, both actual and basis normal, being across that northwestern part of the belt. As we move into the upcoming weekend and next week, temperatures do look to moderate. And in fact, this kind of core of cold looks to shift back into the northern plains and into western Canada. So that will begin to moderate temperatures. We're not shifting in any unusually warm patterns here in the Midwest, but kind of getting out of this, you know, more anomalous Arctic cold pattern that's been in place here recently.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.